Happy Monday and welcome to Sportsline here on WBAL. A lot to get into tonight. We're going to look back at the playoff games from yesterday. Coming up tonight on BAL at 7:30, we're going to send it to Pasadena, California for the national championship in college football, Florida State and Auburn. That broadcast tonight on BAL. But first, we're joined now by really a capologist from a writing sense, I would say, Aaron Wilson of the Baltimore Sun, who knows these numbers surrounding the Ravens as well as anybody, and he joins us now. Aaron, thank you so much for being on the program. How are you?
Hey, no problem. Good to talk to you.
Well, let's look at this, and you wrote about it yesterday in the Sun, and it's available right now at BaltimoreSun.com if you want to see all the numbers and the cap situation with the Ravens. And let's just go right down the list and start with the three most obvious big numbers out there, and if there was ever a time to restructure or cut potentially, it surrounds really these three players in Nada, Suggs, and Rice. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. The problem with sometimes you get into these contracts where you pay top dollar, and then as the deal matures, you still have the proration, meaning the amortized portion of the bonuses. And the Ravens do a two-tier bonus system usually, where they pay a guy, like Elodie Nada, they pay him a signing bonus, and then the next year he gets an option bonus. And when you do that, you've got two amortizations working in addition to high base salaries. Like, he makes $8.5 million next year. So then you have $7.5 million in all the proration, and it's like you get $16 million salary cap figure, which is pretty hard to deal with from a cap standpoint. You only get $126.3 million for next year, and between Elodie Nada and Terrell Suggs at 12.4 and you've got Ray Rice at 8.75. You have some really hefty cap figures. And then you have some newer deals that are high, like Joe Flacco. He's $14.8 million. There's nothing really you can do about that. In the case of Nada and Rice, cutting them is not a good idea. And it's very difficult to get players to take pay cuts. And it's difficult to get them to restructure. The contract that has the most flexibility is Terrell Suggs. He's agreeing the last year of his deal. So if you were to cut Suggs, you'd get back $7.8 million, but they would probably do that. So they'll try to reach a compromise, maybe extend his deal and lower his $12.4 million cap figure.
Right. So that would be the only incentive for the player, the fact they may be able to get another year and make something with the Ravens as opposed to being cut plainly and being done after 1 year. You'll still get paid, I guess, for that year, and the Ravens still take a hit.
Right.
Now they can extend him out maybe a year as a negotiation tactic.
Right, and there's sometimes what they call a simple restructure. They've done this in the past for Marshall Yanda to create salary cap space. They just convert most of the base salary into a signing bonus, and then they lower the new base salary to the veteran minimum. So then you have just you have a lower cap figure because you've taken a big chunk of that money and you spread it out over future years. Eventually, you know, if you do that very often, like the Steelers, you see they can barely stay under the cap each year. It's kind of like a credit card bill coming due, and then you have cap problems. And Pat Moriarty, the Ravens' vice president of football administration, does a really good job of avoiding dead money, which is what they call when they have a guy that you're still paying as far as, you know, salary cap when he's no longer on the team. And you try to avoid that as much as possible. That's just a really bad situation from an accounting standpoint. It's not because of the cash. Like, you have to still pay the guy in most cases. It's just a matter of it still counts on the books.
How forward do the Ravens and other clubs and Pat Moriarty have to look into the future when they're analyzing these deals and looking forward to how to restructure and when to restructure?
You usually want to look about 3 years in advance. And, you know, in the case of the contracts that they've designed, like for Joe Flacco, it's essentially like a 3-year, $72 million contract that they'll adjust at the end of the 3 years when the cap figures are in the $20 million range. So what they do, what they just keep, they don't just go year to year. You're thinking about future budget. So he has a whole spreadsheet, and he knows what everyone's cap figure is year to year, and he has all the math in front of him, and it's all on his computer, and these are things he probably could tell you off the top of his head. And yeah, Pat's really good at his job. And, you know, the Ravens are not a cheap team. You know, they spend for these guys, they pay them the top market value. All those guys I mentioned, like Rice, Suggs, Nada, they got great contracts, Flacco. But when you can sometimes be a victim of your own success. When you keep drafting well, like Ozzie Newsome
right.
does, and then you want to keep players, eventually what you have sort of a star system, and you have, you know, about, say, six guys Webb, Yonda, Flacco, Nada, Rice. They all count for, and Suggs, they're about $70.9 million against the $126.3 million caps for 2014. So, you know, there's not much of a middle class when you have that.
Yeah, the Ravens are a victim of their own success, and good drafting teams and good developing teams have to basically take one in the chin. Even looking at the games this weekend, you see a Ben Grubbs, and we always talk about the stars the Ravens keep, but there have been many Pro Bowl caliber players. I'm not just talking about the high-priced guys like a Danelle Ellerbe or Paul Kruger, who are overpaid when they hit the free agent market. I'm talking about legitimate Pro Bowlers who have, you know, slipped away, not because the Ravens didn't want to retain them, just because they couldn't afford to keep everybody.
Right, yeah, that was a tough one. They didn't really even get close to his contract value. And, you know, if you look at the guard position now, remember, they got a Pro Bowl right guard, but they had an opportunity to try to keep Grubbs. They didn't even get close. And then they were in negotiations with Evan Mathis, and Evan got more money to stay in Philadelphia. So this was something that a few years ago they tried to do. Then they wind up in the draft. They get, if he hadn't hurt his back, Kelechi Osemele is a very affordable young guard that's a good player, not Grubbs or, you know, Evan Mathis, but he's a good player. And that's why sometimes you want to have a lot of young players. You just don't want to have a ton of free agents on your roster and, you know, guys that you buy. And you're usually better off just developing your own players. And sometimes you can't keep everybody. Like, you know, when I look at this year, you know, I want to see more departures than guys that they can retain.
We are with Aaron Wilson of the Baltimore Sun talking about the Ravens cap situation. Of course, the Ravens will have their annual State of the Ravens press conference coming up on Wednesday morning. We'll cover it for you live right here on WBAL. When we come back with Aaron Wilson, we'll look at the pending Ravens unrestricted free agents and how busy the Ravens will be this offseason. That's coming up next right here on BAL.